from him, chips it past Rudolph. He's got Caulfield in front. And the center replay, Caulfield, Anderson scores! Josh Anderson extends the series. Canadians stay alive, and there it will be Game 5.
Minus 3. With Dave Dameshek.
Well, Stanley Cup still TBD. The NBA Finals are nigh. We're halfway through MLB, and football is in the air. Hi and hello, and welcome to Minus 3, along with Eddie Spaghetti. Dave Dameshek here, reporting from the banks of the Three Rivers, Pittsburgh, PA. Eddie Spaghetti, happy belated July 4th. How did you celebrate our Independence Day?
Happy 4th of July to you as well. I celebrated by going to the beach the day before, so July 3rd, just due to friend scheduling. My girlfriend had work, so Saturday was the day we picked. Went down to Dockweiler in Los Angeles, right by the airport. It's like one of those beaches where you could do a fire, like in a fire pit. So we had it for the entire day.
Karate Kid.
Yeah, exactly. We had the fire pit going from, well, not for the whole day, but we got there 11 o'clock, stayed until around 9, you know, just sitting on the beach, grilled some wieners on top of the fire, did some s'mores, watched the planes fly over the top. It was a pretty good day.
Did a tow-headed tough come by and ruin your twilight time by the sea, break your boombox, and it went down from there? That's how LaRusso and Cobra Kai first started their entanglement.
We were pretty lucky. No boombox incidents. I had the music playing. We had, like I said, plenty of wieners. The fire felt good at night because it gets cool here in the LA beaches. So it was really, really good. I definitely recommend that. I would do that again in the future. It beats, you know, spending a ton of money traveling somewhere, renting a place, going.
Well, what the hell? Excuse me. I traveled somewhere. And I've traveled to the banks of the Three Rivers, and things have gone very nicely. In fact, perhaps too well, because I may not be allowed to ever leave, which, you know, wouldn't really upset me all that much. But since I arrived, the Pittsburgh Pirates undefeated. Coincidence? Probably, but I don't know yet. We'll have to go and see. In fact, I'm making my way over to the glorious ballpark this evening to watch the Buccos, see if they can continue their role. The Atlanta Braves, July 4th. You may have had a nice one by the beach. The Braves most certainly have not. A shameful display so far in Pittsburgh, PA, from those Braves. We'll see if they can do it. What do you think there, Spaghetti? Ian Anderson against those Buccos really put it on the Braves. What night was that? See, I'm very confused with the holiday. Monday night, they really put it on them. I think I'm going to roll with the Braves to get right here as we get into some of our best bets here for the next couple of days. The Braves on the money line, minus 194. The total on that one is 9. I would never bet against any of my teams, so I'm certainly not going to start now, but you might want to look at the Braves there. The big item, of course, Jake DeGrom. Whenever Jacob DeGrom's on the hump, it's must-watch television, although he has allowed a few runs. The total on that one, well below the league average there, 7. Is the total on that one. I still am going to go under that one at minus 114. What do you think? Brett Anderson in town to play the Metropolitans in Queens. Spaghetti, how say you?
Well, the first number you look at whenever DeGrom's in the bump is the total. It's 7, which is a pretty low number. I think he does rebound, and the Mets, they just squeak by when they win this one. So I do like the under in 7 here. It is funny that there is a guy in the Brewers, Willie Adams, who has hit a home run off of DeGrom. Not saying to maybe to use the Tuesday dinger on that, but it is pretty interesting to go through, you know, the batting order and see who is gone yard off of Jake DeGrom. So he has done it. He's plus 420 right now on FanDuel.com/-3. So just saying, if you want to go there, I know Pete Alonso did have a bomb a couple days back. He's probably your best bet for the Mets to go yard there. And like the Mets right now are, they're in that stretch where they're hoping Francisco Lindor picks it up if they're going to make some moves at the deadline. So anytime DeGrom's in the bump for the Mets, they need to basically secure this victory. So I like the Mets to win today.
Yeah, on your Tuesday night slate, I'm with you. As I say, league average, you very rarely see over under totals below 8, and it's at 7 there in Queens. The other side of the spectrum is the total is 9.5 in Wrigley. The wind's blowing out as the Phillies pay a visit there. I say still not high enough as the wind is blowing out. The conditions are just right for many bombs. A wonderful atmosphere in Wrigley tonight. I say on this Tuesday night, I say go over that 9.5 at -102. FanDuel.com/-3 is how you bet all of those. And Eddie Spaghetti, like I say, in Pittsburgh here, I'll go to one of the must do things that when you're out here. My wife said to me, like, take me to what the tourists do. What do you do when you're in Pittsburgh? You know, like, and I like, I mean, tourism. I don't know that tourism is a big ticket item here in Pittsburgh. It's all about the teams. You go and see that, and then you eat delicious foods. You eat good pizzas and Primanti's and all of that. It is fun. We also went to Kennywood. It's an amusement park. No, they see. What did you say it was?
I thought it was a water park. I'm thinking of Dorney Park, which is another one in Pennsylvania, but Kennywood I've heard of.
Yeah, well, Kennywood is awesome because, you know, as I always say, when you get off the airplane, you usually get a good sense of what's important to the locals. And when you get off the airplane in Pittsburgh, the first thing you see is a big statue of the father of our nation, George Washington. And right next to him is the father of the Pittsburgh Steelers dynasty, Franco Harris, who initiated it with the Immaculate Reception. There is a statue of Franco posed for all of time making the Immaculate Reception. So that was an exciting arrival, exciting for everybody who I brought out with me for the first time to see Pittsburgh, to know what it is. And then we went to Kennywood to ride the coasters and all of that. And I think it really defines the city as much as anything that they have. How many places, as you know, you love your Yankees. New York City loves its sports. Los Angeles loves its Lakers and Dodgers and everything else. But only Pittsburgh, as far as I know, has a roller coaster devoted to the local football team. There's the Steel Curtain, and it is, I don't want to be a prisoner of the moment, maybe the best roller coaster I've ever been on in my life. Do you like the coaster, Spaghetti?
I do. I like the wooden, like the, my favorite one probably ever.
Yes, the wooden ones, right.
The wooden ones, the name of it is El Toro. El Toro and Six Flags Great Adventure in New Jersey. And I've been on that one quite a bit. I mean, I could do the loop ones. I believe there's one in Disney near us. The Incredicoaster, which is a ton of fun.
Yeah, the Incredicoaster in Disneyland is awesome. Yes, it really freaked out my little kids, right.
You sit there for 5 seconds, all of a sudden the guy just takes off and you have no time to react to it, which I think helps. Because growing up, I wasn't afraid of roller coasters. I just have a weak stomach. I am prone to seasickness, motion sickness, so I wasn't the biggest fan. Then I guess at some age, I kind of figured out how to ride the coasters without getting sick, and I do enjoy them. But I would take the wood ones, even without the loops, because I know they really can't do that. They're the most fun.
I can't. Yeah, well, the thing I can't do anymore is, and it's a product. In fact, I went to the doctor and I said, hey, I went on, I did some go-karting with my kids with Jean-Claude Van Damashek a few weeks ago. And I really got like sort of seasick, like you say. I got like vertigo or something while I was driving, doing the circles endlessly. And I said, is there something wrong with my equilibrium? Is there something wrong with my ear? And he said, no, you're old. And I said, wait, well, there's got to be some solve for this. He said, no. Roller coasters and spinning things like that just aren't designed for people your age. And I really felt very sad then. I don't like the spinning ones, but this Steel Curtain, it's like loop-de-loops and like the corkscrews and all that kind of stuff. It's a newfangled one. It's not the wooden kind, but either way, it is. I love coaster, and I also Cedar Point on the wrong side of the Ohio-Pennsylvania border is a great place with a bunch of great coasters. Man, I love doing the coasters. Maybe we should do that next summer, Spaghetti. We should, or maybe, you know what? Maybe by even this summer's end, we should make our proper list of the best roller coasters we've been on. But I did go, we were in there, and it is the epicenter for great Yinzer accents. And so if you'll indulge me, Spaghetti, I put together my Win Play Show, the best Yinzer comments I've heard so far since we arrived in Pittsburgh just a couple of days ago. Would you like to hear it?
I would love to. Yeah.
Okay. The first one, the third place is, I went into the bathroom, to make some water, of course. And, somebody walked in behind me, a Yinzer guy walked in, and he said to his pal, he's like, "Dave, it always smells like garbage and ass in here." So I thought that was a fun one. That's a bathroom. It all, like the guy marveling that in that particular bathroom, apparently it smells like garbage and ass in here. Then a lady, said at the grocery store, they had $5 t-shirts that said Battle and Buckos on it. And so of course I had to buy one for Jean-Claude Van Damashek, a grocery store t-shirt. How could I pass up that? He's my son after all. So I got one of those, and the lady, as she checked it out, she's like, "Oh, the Buckos, it's too bad their owners ain't even from here." And they're from West Virginia. The Nutting family isn't from Pittsburgh, you see. They're from West Virginia. So the locals lamenting the ownership. And then the number one statement I've heard so far is out of context, still great stuff. A woman who had a deep, dark tan, like the tan mom, kind of level tan, and a big hole but in her to reveal her cleavage as she walked around with her child and everything. She said, "Jens, I don't even know where in hell Cheyenne's at." I thought that was a good one. Cheyenne. She didn't even know where Cheyenne's at, dude. She didn't know where Cheyenne's at. Anyway, listen, it's just marvelous out here. Love getting out here any time of the year. Hope we can make a return trip come Steeler season. And we want to talk a little bit of pro football here. Like I say, it is in the air. Spaghetti FanDuel has a whole bunch of fun props up there right now. And I do want to dig in on those. Before we do, did you watch the Stanley Cup game 4? When I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong. Like the late great Jerry Orr. I can't get that out clean. When I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong. Like the late great Jerry Orbach says at the end of Dirty Dancing, "I told you the Lightning were going to sweep. I thought after game 3, it was in the bag. I thought the Habs would perhaps not lay down, but kind of." I've been pointing at this one the last few weeks, and apparently it's no longer true. I always had the sense that human beings, when it's like, all right, we're not going to win this series, do we really want to get back on the plane and head all the way back down to Tampa Bay and play a game 5? Well, let's just start summer now. The next NHL season will start in just a few months anyway. And yet the Habs did show up. I do think Kucherov helped them out, hitting the post. That should have been the cup clincher there for the best player on the NHL's best team. But the Blue Blanc et Rouge live to play another night, specifically tomorrow night. I stick with it. I know. I apologize to all who listened to me on the sweep. Like I say, I was certain it was going to happen until the pretty fun overtime goal there, all those rebounds when it's sitting right on the doorstep and finally someone banged it in for the Habs to force that game 5. Spaghetti, how say you? Any chance? Do you think that this gives the Habs any shot at the cup, or do we say they just delayed the inevitable and like the Tampa St. Pete mayor hoped for? Got to be careful what you wish for with these things. Hoping that the Lightning would lose up in Montreal so that the locals could celebrate it down in Tampa.
Yeah.
I don't know. It feels like playing with fire, but I do think that it kind of sets up for a celebratory atmosphere. The Lightning must have gotten on the plane a little bummed out on Monday night, like, man, we should have been celebrating and we should have the Stanley Cup on this plane for our trip back down to Florida. But then I'm sure their minds turned to like, oh man, we have a chance to have a great party, especially after winning the cup last year in the bubble. They were deprived of that. I bet you they are really going to come out flying on Wednesday night. How say you?
Yeah, it's funny that the mayor of Tampa Bay said they wanted to win at home. Because, you know, if I'm ever in a position of public office or I have access to speak, I want to tell them, do not ever say that about one of my teams. You want to win in as least amount of games possible, because, like you always bring up, there's the curse of Sposa. So now you have the mayor saying that, and then you go and, you know, you have the cup in the building, which brings an extra pressure. They always like talking about the guy wheeling it out, the guy, the long hair and the gloves, that whole bit. And you're right. There's the curse we're supposed to. They've been the better team. I know I've said the Lightning, this series is going to go 7 games. But, the last thing you want to do is you give them a little bit of life. They had some life in game two, the Canadians. They didn't get it done. So the Habs probably win game four now in overtime. If they go and win game five in Tampa, game six now back in the Bell Center,
now it gets scary. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Now when you talk about Spoelstra, you're absolutely right. The Lightning are feeling probably pretty good right now. Like, okay, it's not the end of the world that we didn't win the Stanley Cup up there. We should have finished them off, but we're going to get to have a party. But to your point, if the Habs get a goal, they get to the first intermission with a lead, it becomes kind of realistic that, boy, we can be heading back up to our neck of the woods. And then the pressure really, really is on the Lightning.
Yeah, and they're clearly not the better team here. Lightning are the far superior team, but it doesn't seem to really matter ever in NHL playoffs history. And like I said, I picked this to go seven. It seemed like it was going to go five games now, but if there's a chance that the Canadians could pull this one off, I think if they do win this next game, game five in Tampa Bay, I think this does go the length. I think it goes the distance here because that just you got to roll with the momentum here. And, you know, if they're going to keep getting a goal and a half, the Canadians, I'm going to probably keep taking that just because I think they're going to be close. They're getting outplayed, but I don't think they're that bad of a team. I think if they lose this series in five, we're going to say, wow, this is such a mismatch. I still don't really feel that, but this is not a position you want to be in. And unfortunately, I think for the other, you know, series that's about to go on, the NBA, I think that could be, you know, this wasn't a sweep. It was almost a sweep. I think that could also be a sweep potentially. So I'm just really hoping for a longer series because I think as a sports fan, we want to enjoy our time here before we're still a few months away from football, like we mentioned. So it's like, please just, you know, for the sake of fandom, give us a longer series in the NHL, give us a longer NBA finals, just for something to root for.
I know we haven't, you know, we've been a part of the lamenting the state of this NBA postseason. What are you going to do? It does set up for the Suns to win it. I will say, though, real quick on the Lightning, minus a goal and a half at plus 134. I like that as the bet. If you want to take the 60-minute line, the Lightning are minus 130. Eddie Spaghetti, go ahead, though. Take your Habs at plus 290.
I'm going to take them plus
60-minute line.
I just like them. I like them keeping it close. I think all these games too. The total right now is at five. Man, if it was like 5.5, I would say under. I think these games are all going to be very, very close. Like just playing super, super tight. But definitely the Habs getting a goal and a half, I think is going to be close. Also thinking about in terms of cities you party in. It's funny because I'm not sure how many players in the Lightning are Canadian. But it's like Montreal, from what I've heard, I've never been there, is a pretty fun city to party in.
I've heard it actually described. And you know who it is who told me this? One of the people have mentioned this, but it's not just him. It's our pal, our hero, Cousin Sal, who just turned 50. Happy birthday belatedly to our leader here, Cousin Sal, Jacob DeGrom. Like we say, will probably deliver a victory belatedly to celebrate the occasion there. But yeah, he described, among other people, as Montreal is the best city in North America. That's a strong statement. I've never been there. I can't. I'll have to go and inspect it. Maybe you and me need to take a road trip, some CFL action or something.
Yeah, I mean, then they're known for like what their poutine and their bagels, and then plus it's
their bagels. That's what they're known for.
Yep.
Really, Montreal bagels.
And in terms of nightlife, I have heard they have the most amount of I believe strip club bars, establishments, if you're into that sort of thing. But I feel like Tampa Bay has their fair share as well, and a few Hooters that John Gruden may own. So it's like either way, you know, if you're going to win in Tampa, you're going to win in Montreal. I think either way, as a player on the Tampa Bay Lightning, you're going to be okay no matter where you win.
Boy, that's an interesting point you raise. Has there ever been in championship round history a bigger difference between the two towns that are in it? Tampa St. Pete in Florida and Montreal, which feels like
speaking Montreal versus guys in cutoff and jorts in Tampa Bay. Yeah, it's vastly different.
Yeah. Then again, Milwaukee and Phoenix are not just on the same planet, but they're in the same nation. That also seems very weird to me. The land of cheese versus the Valley of the Sun, if you put the cheese. So who wins that? So if we determined it based on, people always do it like, you know, I like to do that kind of thing. Like a buck is a deer against the sun. Eventually the sun's going to win that. And then the same thing, like if the main product is sunshine in Phoenix, it also would vanquish the chief product of Wisconsin, which is cheese. But I enjoy melted cheese, and that is why I am taking the Phoenix Suns to win the series. And I don't know about a sweep. I think that the Suns have shaken me just a little bit. And by the way, as a side note, we like to keep our eyes focused on all things Northeast in Sports America here. Unfortunately, the teams in that region of the country haven't accommodated us here in July. And so we're focusing in on these finals. We're going to get to a little football action though in just a second here, but I like the Suns. I don't have the confidence based on their performance against the Clips team that didn't have its best player. They still struggled there a little bit, which leaves me a little bit underwhelmed by this Phoenix Suns team. Nevertheless, I am going to take the Suns to win the series. I'll say take them in five if you want to circle the games total in that one. But the bet I like best is Devin Booker plus 600 to be the MVP of the series. Spaghetti, a lot of heat on Chris Paul, a lot of celebrating, finally getting to the finals there. He's available for you at plus 1,100, but the bookmakers are in agreeance with Damashek here. Booker is the superior scorer. That's what tends to win out to me. He's going to emerge from this entire playoff run, but after the finals, especially as the emerging superstar in the NBA. So Booker plus 600, the coronation is complete. The Suns get it done for the first time in forever. How say you?
Well, like we just mentioned, I'm 99% sure I was wrong about the NHL Stanley Cup Finals. I said that I was going to go seven. Looks like I was wrong there. So for this one, I'm going to go the opposite. I think I'm going to go Suns in four. I think not just because of the guy holding it up, but I just think they're the far superior team. I think sometimes like that team of destiny thing kind of gets in. If it's in our minds, I'm sure some Bucks players have it like, oh, man, Chris Paul is finally here. And they have him and they have DeAndre Ayton and they have Devin Booker and they're a well-coached team or, you know, our best player is injured. And I think that definitely plays a factor in it. So I said last week DeAndre Ayton, I think he was plus 2,000 last week to win Finals MVP. He's plus 2,400 right now, so I still like him. Part of me thinks that Chris Paul and Devin Booker kind of cancel each other out, although I do think what Hench said about the him being the darling of the finals definitely will play a part. His number seems to be getting bought up. So, but yeah, the Suns in four right now on FanDuel, it's plus 800 to win the series. Suns win the series in four games. And then just the series in general going four games, if you could bet on that, is plus 600 on FanDuel. I like that. I just think they're going to come in, take care of business, and they're going to win, and all the Suns fans could be happy for how many there are. But us sports fans who just want to sit back and watch a game, I'm afraid we're going to have only a very, very short amount, the shortest possible amount of NBA games left this season.
It's funny, by the way, sorry, I'm a dummy as usual. I screwed up those MVP odds. Chris Paul is at plus 155, so the bookmakers are on board with the sentimentality of Chris Paul getting it. I am with Devin Booker at plus 250. Spaghetti rightly says DeAndre Ayton at plus 2,400. The value is nice there. Drew Holiday at plus 750. I mean, of course, Chris Middleton's got to be the star if the Bucks are going to do it. So if you somehow believe in Milwaukee at this point, bet Chris Middleton to get the MVP. I really can't see a path for them winning the series without him leading the way at plus 550 or Giannis there plus 650. It is a bummer, man. If you're a Bucks fan, this is all we always talk about, the progressive nature of the NBA postseason. The teams build up to this. Rarely does a team just sort of like come out of nowhere, kind of like the Suns have. As a matter of fact, they're the anomaly here. This that happened with the Pistons back in what, '03, '04, when they knocked off the long in the tooth Lakers, and the year the Mavs won it. There are a couple of those anomalous kind of seasons that break through there. And I do think the Suns certainly wind up winning this one, but the Bucks and their fans must just be sick because this has been kind of like a 3 or 4 year build to this moment. Mm-hmm. And they're deprived of it like just about every other NBA team because of injury. And the great irony, the sports god's sense of humor breaking through once again, Chris Paul, the most injury prone of all stars, is healthy, even though he almost got hurt a couple of times really badly. It looked like, oh man, once again, Chris Paul's going out. But he's come through clean. And so two will the Suns. Now, let's talk a little bit of NFL here, Eddie Spaghetti. We'll keep it nice and light. It's summertime. You know, there are Primanti's sandwiches to eat with fries and coleslaw on them. So I don't want to hold you up too long here. But let's go through some of these fun player props that are available for you at FanDuel.com. Check them all out here. What do you want to start off with here, Eddie Spaghetti? Should we do regular season rushing yards? Would you like to talk about that? Or regular season passing yards? You want to talk about some win totals? What's your pleasure here? Week one starters. There is some news on that front. Other Rodgers is still out there talking about staying quiet, and the silent man is wise, and I don't know what any of that means. If you look online, you'll see some buzz that this is the week that Aaron Rodgers is made a Denver Bronco. How say you on all of that? The Denver Bronco starting QB week one odds still are Drew Lock at plus 145, Teddy B at plus 145, Brett Rippon at plus 1600, but there's other Rodgers at plus 220 available for you. Are you buying that yet, Spaghetti?
I'm still firmly in the camp that Aaron Rodgers is going to be wearing only Green Bay Packers green and yellow this upcoming season. He's not going anywhere. It is the time of this recording, it is July 6th. He's not going anywhere. I also believe there was some sort of contracting that kicked in that they had to owe him money. Obviously, if he doesn't report and he sits out of, you know, for the whole entire season, I think it's pretty much the end of his career. I don't think it's going to be a good move for a guy who's 39 years old. But I think week one, my Giants are playing the Broncos, right? They'll be playing a combination of Drew Lock and Teddy Bridgewater week one.
I know it's funny because let's say Rodgers does move just for the fun of it, what then becomes a Teddy B? And then as a reminder, you have Andy Dalton in Chicago at this point, even though, and then of course they get Justin Fields, who should be the starter, and it'll be loco if they do anything but that. But then you also still have Nick Foles, who was celebrated at least on the eastern side of Pennsylvania and pretty good the world over for vanquishing the Patriots. That was just a handful of years ago. That's what I always talk about with QB saturation. You talk about how many good quarterbacks there are. I mean, Nick Foles is a viable starter. Imagine if he winds up a third-string quarterback in Chicago in 2021. That's only 4 years after, or 3.5 years after, he defeated Tom Brady and the Patriots in the Super Bowl. So it's interesting. I wonder, though, if Teddy B would get moved, if that would be something that, or and again, I keep pointing it out, Deshaun Watson is still sitting out there. I think he's kryptonite right now. I don't know any franchise that's going to reach out, including the Houston Texans, and embrace him right now. But still, there are QBs out there that are intriguing. But I'm gonna stay with Aaron Rodgers at plus 220 that he winds up on the Broncos. But I'm with you. At some point, it becomes impossible to integrate him into the offense.
Well, that I get from his standpoint, he's probably not looking at, he's just looking at his pure hatred for the Packers organization. He can't stand them, doesn't want to deal with them anymore. But in terms of football, and I'm not sure if this is crossing his mind, but it's crossing my mind, is that it's a way easier path to stay in the NFC North to make a run in the playoffs. If you want to, you know, give a giant FU to the Packers, and you're going to say, like, hey, you guys don't draft the pieces that I want, you don't sign free agents that I want, you don't keep the players that I want, and he goes on a run, and he could potentially get back into the Super Bowl again this year in Los Angeles. I mean, the path from the AFC West versus the NFC North to me is night and day. And if you look at the bigger picture of the NFC, it's like, is he really worried about the NFC East, any team there? Probably not. I wouldn't be. NFC South, like, are the Bucs really going to repeat? Is old Tom Brady going to do it again? Are you really that afraid of the Drew Breesless Saints? Because, I mean, I'm
telling you,
I know you like them, yeah, but I'm not a big Saints guy.
I we're down to, like, that's exactly right. If you're doing the math, if you're Rodgers, you could be as raw as you want about the front office and everything else. But the fact is that the NFC has a much breezier path, ironically, without Drew Brees, a breezier path than the AFC does. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly right. I like the Saints a lot. I like the Rams to go to the Super Bowl. As a matter of fact, you still got the 43-year-old man down there in the aforementioned Tampa St. Pete area. Speaking of that, though, what's your wager on week one Patriots starting QB. You want to get in on this now, I suspect, because things will clarify once we get to August and we start hearing Belichick around practice and what Cam looks like and what the kid Mac Jones is looking like. Cam Newton right now to be the week one starter, minus 185. I'm leaning that way. Odds not juicy enough for me to actually make that wager on number one, but Mac Jones at plus 170 is sitting there. Ooh, you could get Jarrett Stidham at plus 950. That would be fun if that ended up happening. But I think that Belichick honors his vets in such a way. You hear guys, the book on Belichick is, oh, people don't understand. I do think that Cam Newton doesn't resign there if he doesn't have a pretty good assurance. I'm sure Belichick doesn't say, Cam, you're definitely going to start for us no matter what happens in the draft. But I gotta think that Belichick takes care of his vets to the degree that at least he's going to start Cam Newton in 2021 over Mac Jones. How say you?
I think if there ever was a scenario where there's a guy who's on the shortest of leashes and they're ready to pull the plug on that, I think that's Cam Newton. I think he's for sure the starter in week one outside of an injury. If he pulls a hammy or something, you know, weightlifting or in practice, then sure, then it'll be Mac Jones's team. But I think Belichick definitely does like Cam Newton. I think there was flashes last year of what, you know, that Seattle game everyone goes back to. It's like, yeah, this is what could happen when things are running at full strength right now. But I think the minute he starts to slip up and starts, you know, he's throwing the balls into the ground, and they're going to hear all the clamoring to bring on Mac Jones, start the new regime over. This team needs to kind of go through a semi rebuild. They're not going to win the division with you know, the Bills and Josh Allen there, plus the Dolphins, who I think are going to get a little bit better. The Jets will in time be better. It's a weird spot for the Patriots because, you know, if they're not going to win games and they rattle off a bunch of wins right off the bat, this team may have to kind of look at itself and go, all right, it's time to kind of cut bait with these like veterans that are hanging on and just kind of rebuild from scratch.
If you're an optimist though, and you believe in that defense that, you know, of 2019 and the pieces that are returning after the 2 years away, I like that. And, you know, Belichick, I don't think, I mean, obviously as a personnel guy, he's not as good as he is as a scheme guy, but you look at what they did in free agency and it does, if you blur your eyes a little bit, where I always make fun of the weapons that Cam Newton had in 2015. That's why I always say he's a potential future Hall of Famer here because of his rookie season combined with the 2015-15-1 run where he was throwing the ball to Ted Ginn Jr. and Philly Brown. They kind of have that vibe. They have speed now at receiver and they have playmakers at tight end and can run the ball at you and everything else. It does set up in a nice way for Cam. It does feel built to Cam's strengths. Remember Cam Newton, as I make fun of his wide receivers, he did have Greg Olsen. And now I feel like, you know, Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith can kind of, you know, provide the playmaking the way Greg Olsen used to 5 years ago. So I do like Cam as a starter. Like I say, I don't love those odds. Doesn't make it worth it for me. I don't see the value there to make that bet. But Spaghetti, let's do here. What do you want to do? I want to stick with quarterbacks. You want to do most regular season passing yards?
I Patrick will sprinkle Mahomes. On something with quarterbacks, and this is really the theory I've been working on. And this is with the NFC South, and now we're Northeast focused here. And I'm not sure there's a way to kind of bet on this because I know they have New Orleans Saints starting quarterback week one. I don't think he's going to start week one, but I wish there was a player prop for how many games or how many passes he would attempt because I would take the over with Ian Book. And I'm not just saying this as a Notre Dame fan, but I think the Saints are they're a very strange team at quarterback. I think this whole Jameis versus Taysom Hill thing it's like a saga that neither of them are going to win at. They're not going to be the future. I just don't see that happening. I think the Taysom Hill project is a very weird thing, and Jameis is he's just too mistake prone. Like, I know we've been seeing, you know, his offseason workouts of him getting, you know, bags thrown on him, and I know his vision's fixed. And well, look, if it happens, then I'll eat a plate of crow. But as of now, I don't buy Jameis being that guy. But the interesting thing is that Drew Brees retired. He goes to work for where? NBC. NBC hosts which games? Notre Dame every single week. And he works on the broadcast. And I'm not saying he's the reason why Ian Book was drafted by the Saints, but I definitely think that the Saints listen to Drew Brees. And I know for a fact that they've had meetings and they've done stuff together, Ian Book and Drew Brees. And he probably went to the Saints and was like, hey, listen, I'm a smaller guy. He's a smaller guy. They're mobile when they need to be. All Ian Book more so. And Drew Brees is like, listen, take this guy. He's a smart kid. He'll find a way to work it out. And the Saints, my opinion, they listened to him. So I was kind of working those little connections there. And I would not be shocked if we see him under center for a little bit of a stretch this season. I wish there was a way to kind of monetize that on FanDuel. But maybe what I'm trying to say is the Saints are going to be in a lot of trouble this year. So whatever their win total is about the under, that's basically what I'm going to say. But I think Ian Book will play a portion of the season for the Saints.
Oh, that's funny. That's a great. I really do like that. I like the Panthers to rise up a little bit in the South. I think they got it. I mean, year two of Matt Rhule, the clever offensive brains tend to break through. And with the, you know, we know season one for the Rhule regime in Carolina was all about drafting defense and loading up on that side. This last few months have been more about the offensive side of things. They got Sam Darnold on purpose for a reason. And Matt Rhule, I'll trust him more than I trust my own eyes when it comes to picking out a quarterback. That's who they went and got. I think they'll be interesting. And I know Tom Brady got everybody to sign back after the Super Bowl and everything else. I am going to continue to go with the Saints there. And people think that that's a little loco until you realize Drew Brees and the Saints already beat them a year ago. I know people think that the Bucs are going to be better. Keep in mind, though, Tom Brady is, after all, a human being. It is funny. Somebody asked me the other one of my nephews said, like, is Tom Brady, you think he's the best to ever play? And it really is a hard question to answer because to your eyes, he's obviously not the best. It's really is weird that that guy is the greatest football player, our most beloved sport of all. And it's that guy. It's really hard to it's paradoxical that human being is the best to ever do it. But at some point he does have to come back to earth. He's going to retire at some point. And I do think that the relatively spry Jameis Winston in this second act of his life is going to be a big story here, even though from a fantasy perspective, you don't want Jameis because of the Taysom Hill factor, because he'll get a lot of close to the goal line touchdowns. So avoid Jameis in fantasy. Do embrace the Saints in real terms. In passing yards, Jameis has led the league in total passing yards. So has Ben Roethlisberger. Both of them sit with pretty juicy odds at plus 7,000 to lead the NFL in regular season passing yards this year. Patrick Mahomes leading the way. I guess that's not that surprising. At plus 310, Dak Prescott at plus 500, Josh Allen at plus 850. And there's the aforementioned Tom Brady at plus 950. I would avoid that one. Justin Rogers is interesting. Justin Herbert. Ooh, Freudian. Justin Herbert plus 1200. I think I roll on that list with the team that I think is going to the Super Bowl from the AFC. I'm going to go with Justin Herbert having a big sophomore season at plus 1,200 passing yards this season. How say you, Spaghetti?
The name on there I like a lot, who's just behind Justin Herbert there, is Matt Ryan. Mm-hmm. I think Matt Ryan, just from obviously the big story is what they lose Julio Jones, but they do bring in Kyle Pitts, who, you know, before he was even drafted, people were like, oh, he's a Hall of Famer. He's a Hall of Famer already. You don't have to watch his career. He's a Hall of Famer. Right. They still have a guy named Calvin Ridley who's as good as it gets, and they have a bunch of other good receivers there. And they don't have a really, 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 really bad run game going on. I know, like, Todd Gurley was trying to bring him in last year for an experiment that doesn't work out. He's going to be passing the ball a ton, Matty Ice. And I think it's kind of like a chip on his shoulder season, because there were rumors that maybe they're going to move on from him and look for somebody else, and they stuck with him. I think they're just going to air it out. That's really their only chance to kind of win games in that division, is just to air it out. Their defense is, you know, it's been banged up the last few years, and I think he's just going to air it out. He has pretty good value on him at plus 1,300, so I like Matty Ice.
I want to give you one more here, Spaghetti. Yeah, I really do think that's a great call, because, of course, what you're considering is not – it's when you're betting total passing yards, you're not just betting on the quality of the quarterback. You're also kind of hoping it's the same sort of rule with fantasy football. It's why I won against Cousin – right, Hench and Cousin Sal and everybody else. Well, it's also – you want a bad defense. If you're betting from a fantasy perspective, you want your QB – to not have a great defense so that he's in shootouts all the time. That's why I took Kyler Murray and why it worked out for me a year ago. Consider that. It's not like you're taking Tom Brady because he's on a good team. That doesn't lead to high passing totals. The rush yards kind of impact is related to the same thing. Obviously, the successful teams, generally speaking, at some point are going to turn around in second halves of games where they have a lead and try and grind you out a little bit. Derrick Henry sitting there leading the way at plus 450. No surprise there. CMC at plus 600, along with Dalvin Cook. Nick Chubb, a lot of people call him the best back in football. Hard to disagree, at plus 850. You know who I like on that? Your boy Saquon's there, plus 1,600 with a great value. If you want to make that bet, I love the offensive line, as does the rest of the world. I don't love Carson Wentz in Indianapolis. I do like the defense. It sets up in a relatively soft and a AFC South. Jonathan Taylor, year two. We always talk about the rookie contract running backs. Those are the guys you want with the fresh, younger legs. Jonathan Taylor, plus 1,100. That's my play for to lead the league in rush yards in 2021. If you watched him a year ago, you saw that he's got the great combo of the size and speed and everything else. Didn't fumble as much as some people like me thought he might struggle with getting into the NFL. I like Jonathan Taylor in year two.
That's would have been my pick 100%. I think it's decent odds at plus 1,100, but not to be boring and pick at the same guy that you did. And this is a quite a long shot. And I'm not saying that he's going to definitely, be in the running there because it seems like there's a couple running backs ahead of him. But from me doing my early fantasy research and just reports that are coming out, the Denver Broncos really, really love Javonte Williams. He's plus 7,000 right now to lead the league in rushing. I know he's a rookie, but he's a guy like that everyone loved the UNC running backs coming out of the draft. He's a guy I want to take a flyer on somebody to add in there. I would not be shocked, especially a team with you know instability. Well, unless they get Aaron Rodgers, but right now with the Teddy B and the Drew Lock scenario going on, the quarterback, I think, you know, if he wins out in camp and, you know, they have to deal with Melvin Gordon, but from all reports, all their beat writers, they love Javonte Williams. People love him in the draft. I think he's a guy that he'll be a household name a year from now. So I he's a guy, if you really want to get a younger, like rookie second year player looking for one of those, a long shot, I think he's your guy.
Excellent. And you know what, Spaghetti, you talk football good, you do good hockey talking, some NBA in, but your wheelhouse, of course, has become the Tuesday Dinger prop available at FanDuel Sportsbook. Make sure you get in on this $5 Dinger Tuesday. Spaghetti is red hot in a way. I don't even know who the comp is because Devin Booker's been up and down. He's had a couple off nights. Eddie Spaghetti, no weeks off for you this baseball season, not on Tuesdays, not when it's time to announce a dinger. Let's do it, Spaghetti, here. FanDuel is letting you place, here we go now, your first bet, risk-free. New users get up to $1,000 back in site credit. If your first bet doesn't win, only gets better from there. You must check out, you must listen to your friend, Eddie Spaghetti here. FanDuel's new promo live. Every Tuesday, $5 Dinger Tuesdays, you place a $25 plus wager on any player to hit a home run and get a $5 bonus insight credit for every home run hit in the game. FanDuel Sportsbook, we love the same game parlays, all those props we just went over in the NFL and all of that. There's a reason it is the number one app in or number one sportsbook in the U.S., but mainly because of Eddie Spaghetti and the hot role he's on. Go ahead, Spaghetti. Who hits a home run tonight in MLB?
Well, I think I've been giving out non-Yankees games picks lately. I think I've given
not really. You did it once, but okay.
Yeah, a few. I've given out some Red Sox. I've given Otani. I've given some Mets, I believe. So now I'm going to go back to the Yankees. And I know Sal's going to ask me this later on today, too. So what I'm going to do in this one, I'm going to kind of pick both sides of the stick here. Yankees are playing the Mariners. Like we mentioned before, the totals have been so high because of, you know, the lack of spider attack, and especially when you have teams with home run hitters like the Yankees do. The Mariners have.
Oh, by the way, I forgot to congratulate you. Spider attack made the All-Star game, if you didn't hear.
Yeah, they're pitching the home run derby.
Chapman and Cole made the all-star team. That's crazy.
Look, their stretches early on were really good. They had a really, really good start to the season, and then
I know, but then they got happened. But then they took away their superpower. It's like they took from Spider. It really is as though they took the radioactive spider out of Venom out of Garrett Cole. Interesting. It's like I didn't think about that. It's like Peter Parker. It's the Peter Parker origin tale. Rewound. That's what Garrett Cole is. Go ahead, Spaghetti.
Well, two pitchers who could definitely use some spider tack with mid to high 5 ERAs. Justice Sheffield, former Yankee, who's pitching for the Mariners, and Jameson Taillon's pitching for the Yankees. Both guys prone to giving up bombs. So I'm going to go with a Mariners player here tonight, and you can get him on FanDuel right now at plus 330. Mitch Haniger. For the Mariners, he leads their team in home runs. He's near the top half of the AL. I think he's 11th in AL, tied for 11th in home runs with he's 18. And look, this game, the total is 9.5. There's going to be a lot of home runs in this game. These two pitchers have not been very, very good. The Mariners home. The Yankees are coming in rested, but just terrible lately. I mean,
my God, are they terrible?
So there's definitely some Yankees I will give out. You can listen to Against All Odds. We'll give it a Yankee player there, but I think Justice Sheffield and the Mariners probably win Game One versus Jameson Taillon, who I think is the worst pitcher in this. And I think that their best home run hitter, Mitch Haniger, will take Taillon yard in Game One of this series versus the Mariners.
Boy, spider tack. Who knew the Pirates really should have been called their minor league system or something should be like the spider tacks or something. Cause really without it, we kind of foisted Garrett Cole and now Chaz Morton without it really does the Houston Astros. It is funny that it seems like they did nothing on the up and up that they were spider tagging, stealing signs and everything else. I mean, really, you could think about Garrett Cole and Chaz Morton and all those guys and how mortal the Jameson Taillon has looked since getting up to New York. I don't know what that means. If that's like a victory for Pittsburgh, it's like you kind of got pranked by the dumb kid. I don't know. But that's what happened to you, Eddie Spaghetti. All right, there you go. His pick to go yard there. And listen, you'd be a fool not to bet that one because Eddie Spaghetti, like we say, has been red hot, not like his New York Yankees, I'm sorry to say. And that's it for us. We'll be back with some extra points for you with Cousin Sal going forward this week, Against All Odds, all the other shows. Make sure you're checking them out on the Extra Points Network. Eddie Spaghetti, final thoughts, or should we just say good night, and we'll review how we did here in about 48 hours with our pal Kevin Hench.
I'll sign off with saying it's an honor to watch the greatest American athlete of all time, Joey Chestnut, with 76 hot dogs. That is quite an impressive feat.
Oh, I thought you were going to honor me there. But listen, I put on a show, and it wasn't about, you know, being on TV. It wasn't about some money. It wasn't about the fame or the backslaps that Joey Chestnut got, who once again did not listen to me, did not order an extra thick shake and gravy fries to show that it's not about remorseless eating. It's about eating for pleasure, for passion. And Damashek put on some show at Fatheads, one of the best places to get wings on the planet Earth. I ate many, many wings. I think I may have eaten all of them. If there are any left, though, I do think I'll eat some more. But yeah, I guess tip of the hat. You know, we're looking for some good news in the U.S. of A of late. So tip of the hat to you, greatest American hero. We'll let Cousin Sal and the AAO boys debate that one. But like we say, we'll be back in 48 short hours for you. Until then, for Eddie Spaghetti, thanks so much, sports fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.